the anthem of our hearts. I'm so in love with you, Jesus. That's the bottom line for us, isn't it? I'm so in love with you, Jesus. When the world seems like it's spinning around, I've had a little bit of that recently in the natural, and it's a strange feeling, and there's just spinning going on. It's like, no, I'm not designed to spin, not that way. But I know that when we're spinning in things of the Lord, sometimes we're going so fast that we forget. We can forget that he's calling us for this deep, everlasting love in him. I'm so in love with you, Jesus. It's the bottom line. For anything, for any message, for any expression of worship, on the stage, off the stage, whatever it would be, the Lord says, that will be tested in your life. That will be tested over and over and over again. Are you really in love with me? I know you've accepted. I know that you've been converted. You've taken a step towards salvation and probably got baptized in the Spirit, maybe. Probably reading the Word sometimes. Probably doing what you can do and taking a step at being a good believer and all the things that we struggle with. But at the end of the day, being in love with Jesus is very, very different. It's the only anchor that we have to be able to draw us to him, and for us to be able to remain constant, to remain stable, to become and remain stable. The Word of God is our anchor. And we need to be so tethered to him who has expressed himself through his word to us, that anything else in our life would be a non-negotiable for us in the area of the Word of God, so that we understand what it really means to have this community, this communing with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk a little bit about that today. And I've been battling some things, you know, in my respiratory system and tract, as some of you guys know. And thank God, I'm free. I praise the Lord for that. But I do know that during this season, during this time, when I've been going through this struggle, I've been talking to the Lord a lot, haven't been able to do a lot of different things that I normally would do. But it's given me lots of time to hang out with him, to hang out on the couch, to listen to what he's saying. So I've been paying very close attention to a lot of things that have been going on a little bit more from afar. Forsa, I haven't seen some of you in a little bit. Thank you, sweetie. Oh, that's perfect. My hot water. Thank you so much. That's so nice. Let me just put it over here. When we came back from Brazil, just a few short weeks ago, there was such a fire and fervor in here. When I walked in this morning, and there still is, when I walked in this morning and I saw the Brazil flag nicely folded up over on the counter between the office and between the children's, one of the children's rooms, I just smiled. I said, oh, Lord, make me so aware of everything that you want to have expressed today. What is your expression through me? I'm just one of many. And I know that you want to use me today, and you want me to be able to be used to help others encounter you in deeper places, in deeper realms, so that there would be such a sense of, I've met with him, I've connected with him, even beyond the expression of worship up here, which is awesome. Thank you guys so much. It's beautiful. But also to be able to take it beyond that. So I've been thinking a lot about the message that you would have whenever that would be given be it this morning or another time. Excuse me, let me just take a sip of water. Stop clearing my throat here a little bit. And been thinking about the nature and the character of God so much. You know, when you're recovering from things, you might have time to do some things in the house. Mine was watching the debates and things like that. I wasn't doing a lot of other things. Spending time with the Lord, but I wasn't doing a lot of physical things. But back to coming back from Brazil, where this first started, actually. I really, really know that this year, 2016, is a year of incredible restoration, incredible breakthrough that God has, not just because the prophets say so, but because the prophets say so, because Jesus says so, and he is the great prophet. But many prophetically are voicing that, and I'm seeing it happen. I'm seeing it happen in Brazil, in families, seeing it happen even in India with Pastor Jacob and Ina's family. I can tell you a little bit about that in a minute. Can see it starting to happen even more here. And I'm thoroughly persuaded and thoroughly convinced that the Lord is about to move in our families in unprecedented ways, in our personal lives in unprecedented ways. And with that in mind, with all of the things that we say and we do, and there's just so many different expressions here in this place of how we do life, how we do kingdom, but with the same common cord and thread, that I'm in love with you, Jesus, as the base and the root of expression that will not tolerate, take that, understand my heart when I say that, will not tolerate less than that. Because that's what God calls us to. He says, I have developed an opportunity for a love relationship between you and myself. And within that bound, within that love relationship opportunity that was on my heart, and that's why I draw you to me, you can't do anything without me, you're going to love me so much, however it ends up, however it comes down, however it ends up looking, you are going to fall in love with me because I've drawn you and I've called you, and that will be seen in your marriages. That will be seen in your families. That will be seen in your businesses. That will be seen in the various relational connections. That's our expression of the Godhead, relationally starting close in and then spilling out. So in the midst of all of the goodness since we came back from Brazil and saw amazing breakthrough, all of the money was raised within that first week to buy the place that we talked about. Can you believe this? And that's because of you. You heard the cry. You heard the call. It's not because somebody's so good at saying, come on, we need to do this. This was a deep, deep cry in your hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They're still stunned in Brazil that the money has been sent so the worship center can start. Is this cool? Is that something small? No, it's not. We painted a really powerful picture, I believe, of the call in that country, along with many others, but that particular country, this particular country, Brazil. And it's a really good message to go re-listen to get the history of it, because there's been so much tug, pull, back and forth of what God's been trying to do, what he's wanted to accomplish in and through us and other people, and the people that he's used to make that happen. And I'm just stunned. I really am. I don't have any other details. Don't put it on Facebook yet, because the money is still going through the exchange and all that. I'll let you know when everybody back everybody there understands this. They don't yet. I mean, Pastor Jerseo is on board, of course, and Inez. But please don't post that like, hey, we're starting, da-da-da. There's all kinds of different dynamics with that. And it's all good from our perspective and the people we work with. But let's just hold off in our enthusiasm on that end, okay? But as I was thinking about this, and we have people on vacation today, I can see. I was really really thinking about the messages that have been given since that time. So yesterday I decided, okay, I'm on the couch. I'm going to listen to Josh. As Josh was the first one to give us a message when I was in Brazil with Pastor Bill and the team. And it was phenomenal. And I just sat on the couch and I was staring out at the trees as my soul is being soothed. It's like, ah, ah, back to the basics, ah, and then continuing to rise. But look for the, in children, you're obviously free to go to Kingdom Land. I think that's kind of given here, but maybe not. The ones who are here today. But I wanted to say that when I was listening to that message, I'm going to highlight some things from Josh's message. And then Cynthia followed that. It was just powerful. And I said, Lord, what are you doing through these two messages that have anything to do with what you're establishing in Brazil, what you're planning on doing in Brazil, what you did do in Brazil, the outpouring that was there, and what you want to do back here? So all these are all my questions as I'm listening to all the things that you had, all the opportunities you had to be encouraged and strengthened. And then we came back. Obviously, we were gone 3 weeks, but two Sundays. So Pastor Bill and I got back right before we had Sunday church and left right after 2 weeks before. So it was virtually 3 weeks, and the team was a little bit shorter. So I didn't listen to the Brazil message. It's very powerful. I really encourage you to do it with all the testimonies. Very, very significant. But after that, Pastor Bill gave an amazing message as well. And this was on purifying our lives and surrendering our hearts and lives. And I hadn't listened to anything that had been shared here. I know what Pastor Bill and I preached in churches and places in Brazil, and I know what the team did, and I know all of that from Brazil, but I really didn't know what was going on here, what had gone on here. So the message that we gave for Brazil piggybacked what was released here, and then Pastor Bill preached this amazing message that I was here for. And then after that, Lawrence preached, because we went to see our family, to see Jeff and Patty and the kids out in Arizona. So we've been doing a lot of traveling, because we went to see Joey and Jenna and Haley down in Orlando right after Christmas, the day after Christmas or so. Must be good news. I don't realize how loud it is. We're happy for you. But I am going to show something that I think will bless you in just a minute. But when we got back and when Pastor Bill started preaching, there is a fear of God that was going through me when he was preaching. Spirit of the fear of the Lord was moving powerfully. And I was asking the Lord yesterday when I was listening to these things, I would say, God, you're so smart. You want to build us up again. You want to build us up higher. You want to build us up, build us up, build us up. So when we sing, oh, I'm so in love with you, Jesus. Oh, I'm so in love with you, Jesus, that will carry each one of us way beyond today and that we'll think about that. And so we come and we listen to the word, which is really great. And Pastor Bill has been sharing over and over again Psalm 139, 23, and 24. And I want to read that in the Amplified. Excuse me. This is in his message. So let me get that for you, because it ties in with something that just happened on Friday. Let me read this one, Psalm 139. And Rebecca, I didn't give you any verses to put up there, so anything you can ride with me on it, and you want to put something up there, that'd be great if you can. So this one is Psalm 139. Excuse me. Here we go. Search me, this is 23 and 24. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let me read this again. So I want it to sink down very deeply, okay? It's us crying out to the Lord, asking him to search us. This is us. Search me, O God. This is not about the majesty of God, where we're saying, look at this amazing God. He is so wonderful. Here are all his characteristics and attributes fully. In other words, they're hidden. It's hidden in this message. But it's us crying out because of his love to enable us to say, I'm so in love with you, Jesus. I'm so in love with you, Jesus. How many of us are married and we look in the eyes of our spouse and say, I'm so in love with you, or we're about to be married, and we say, I'm so in love with you. I'm so in love with you. To enable us to get to that point where we're able to receive the fullness of this expression of love even more. There's a cry in our hearts, God, search me, search me, search me. And the searching says, or the verses say, search me thoroughly. I love this word, thoroughly, in the Amplified. Thoroughly. How many like the word thoroughly? Okay. How many? Yes, I do. I like the word thoroughly. The Lord is so thorough. He says, I want you to cry out in such genuine honesty that you will not shrink back from this mandate, from this call. This is not, hey, why don't you think about it? This is a call from God towards us saying, ask me and I will give you the nations, right? Search me thoroughly. Now, whose definition of thoroughly do we want to entertain? His definition of thoroughly, correct? Search me thoroughly. How many times have I said thoroughly? Search me thoroughly, Lord. So search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Know my heart. Now, it was pointed out in Josh's message, I believe, that many times, he did a great job actually explaining and revisiting what the definition of our soul would be, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And I'm going to touch on some of these things again. It was very, very good. It was laid out very thoroughly, actually. And I was just on the couch yesterday, and I was just nodding my head going, yes, this is truth. Yes, this is good. Yes, this is foundational. Yes, this is leading to a thorough, thorough encounter, continuous encounter with the Lord in these areas, okay? We need to thoroughly be persuaded that Jesus is Lord and then thoroughly understand what it is that he has done for us, what has actually happened, and what our response to that would be. All of that is tied in together to his majesty, to who he is, to him. Why should we say, God, would you search me thoroughly and know my heart? Oh, heart, That means how I feel. Well, the scripture says that our heart is deceitfully wicked. Well, I don't want to hear that verse. God wants us to understand how he sees all things inside of us. He understands the mix. He understands the mind, the will, the emotions. He understands our feelings. He understands our will being very strong. He understands that we are the real us. Our personality, the way we are, is structured in such a way that we're under construction from the minute we say yes to Jesus, because our spirit is made perfect when we're born again. A good reminder. And Josh laid that out again for us. Not new, maybe for some, but definitely truth and foundational truth to be able to hold fast to as the rest of us is under construction. Okay, our soul is under construction as we understand how Jesus sees us and how the Father has knitted us together in our mother's womb. So it was after this Psalm 139, that this is the very end of Psalm 139. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Know my thoughts? You know, Pastor Bill had not listened to Josh's message or Cynthia's message. He's led by the Spirit of God, who led him to give this great message two weeks ago. Verse 24, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me. Wicked or hurtful, not good, either way, right? Anything where there is hurt inside, where wickedness may have found a place to camp, maybe inherited wickedness, maybe wickedness that just found open doors because of hurts and pains, you know, or our own choices as a result of all the things that are still under construction. All right, and then it says, and lead me in the way everlasting. So we're crying out to the Lord, asking him to lead us out of these areas. Lead us out. Lead us out. Lead us out. Powerful. Two verses. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. So he spoke about surrender, us surrendering, and our surrender to our King leads to a purifying heart. Our surrender leads to that. Leads to that heart being purified. Why am I saying this again? Didn't we hear this? Can't we get the tape? Because I believe that we need to hear things over and over and over and over. Hi, Tom. How are you? Good to see you. Over and over. People are even criticized for doing that in the debates. They always repeat themselves. That's because we need to hear it. I could tell you how many jobs have actually been added to the state of Ohio from listening to Governor Kasich. I know I've listened very carefully, and I've listened to all of the candidates, potential candidate, Republican candidate. But they repeat themselves, and they're looking for different ways to get the same message out. Very interesting to me. So I'm asking the Lord, well, Lord, do you have something new that you want me to give? I mean, I like Psalm 139. It's really good. And I also like, wow, Romans 8. That was just so awesome. When Josh was going through Romans 8 and other verses and other things that have been spoken out, you know, and I listened to Cynthia sharing from her heart about gratitude and being thankful. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is so stirring. And these are such good messages. I would hate to even miss one of them. So I didn't once I was able to listen to them, which I really try to do. And then even for the ski weekend, which was last weekend, right? I hear, which I still don't know what you said, that Michelle and Stephanie gave this amazing word on Friday night at Christy and Josh's house to the group that was going. And then on Saturday, it was Troy and, who was it with Troy? Carly, Troy and Carly. And I thought, oh, this is so wonderful. I can't wait to hear what God was saying and doing through them. It's great to hear about the ski fun. You know, oh, that's great. I haven't heard about it yet, but I know I will. That's great. But I'm even more interested in what the expressions are to be able to help lift people out of the places that need to be touched in our areas, in the soulish area, because God's calling us to do that. So I'm real excited about that. But I do know that the Lord is looking for sustainable love. He's looking for love that we can receive from him to be able to release into the world that is sustainable. When Lawrence was preaching this past weekend, when we were in Arizona to see our family, he was preaching about that. And it was amazing. It was really good. And he was preaching about revival and saying, what does revival look like? Are we in revival? When we start singing, I'm so in love with you, Jesus, and nothing else really matters other than that, first and foremost, then the expression of what that is will follow. The expression of the encounter that Lawrence was telling us about when he was at GG9 at the K Games, and he was explaining that in a fun way. It was really good to listen to. And you can get all these on the podcast, guys. But I remember that. I remember when all of that was going on. And I was so touched back then. And he was completely loopy, you know, for a long time because of this great encounter with the Lord, which deposited such great love in the places that he really needed even more to enable him to go deeper in his expression of love. Okay? It's like, whoa, that's nice, Lawrence. How does that benefit us? How does that benefit each person who's listening? How does that benefit all people here and beyond, whoever would listen to that in the future? And I'm not saying that in a, you know, snide way. I'm saying, where are you going with this? Which I loved. And I'm saying, I wonder how that's going to benefit, because I wasn't there. What's that going to be like? Is that going to encourage someone to seek out the beauty and the majesty of God? Is that going to encourage someone to take another step towards our Master and Creator and Father in Heaven? Yes. It was designed, that encounter was designed to do that. So I was really encouraged because I was led to do that. I was led to do that as I was listening to that. I was like, oh, Jesus, I'm just having this best time. I think I got about 4 hours of just catching up, you know, with frontline messages. Still have some to go. And then I thought, Lord, surely you're going to give me something else for today, aren't you? Isn't there another way of you wanting to demonstrate yourself to get attention, get our attention even deeper, in deeper ways? And I just kept hearing this over and over and over in my mind. And I was even laying in bed the other night, last night too, just thinking, what do I do with all this? What do I do? What are we to do? I don't want to just give a nice little message and go, that was really powerful. I am thoroughly persuaded that without a very firm foundation in the Word of God for each one of us, that the times that we are entering into are going to be more and more challenging for us. They're challenging anyway, because that's how it is in the kingdom. That's how it is in the world. We can bury our heads and we can just say, well, you know, that's whatever, you know, it's too big for me. I don't know. I don't even know how to pray about this one with, let's say, our country. But the Lord is saying, I am calling my kids to be instruments of change in my world, not just for their little families, but I'm calling you higher. And the messages that you heard in the last month, a month and a week or so, they are calling us higher. All messages are designed to call us higher. And since that time, and even during that time, we have been going deeper and deeper and deeper into things in the Spirit. And Josh alluded to that and said, he gave testimonies about his own life, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It just took me right back to the prayer camp and medical school days and pre-medical school days. Like, oh my gosh, he was just a kid. And now look at him. And I think about these things and I think, what does Jesus say about us? Look at my little kids growing up. And I went back to the Bible study and all the years, every other weekend for I don't know how many years. We should probably count that sometime. Desiring to lay out powerful foundations in the Word of God, not veering from the Word of God, desiring to, and seeing the outbreak of the Holy Spirit in our house. It's going to be tested. All of that's going to be tested. And it has been. I want to show a 10-second video clip. So I'll just turn the lights off. And you can see something that will be shocking. Get ready. If you want it, someone want to help her with that? While they're doing that. This is not a filler, it's just I wasn't going to say it right at this moment, but I'll just go ahead and begin it. But I've been on the phone with Ina John, in India, northern India. And as you know, Pastor Jacob has been falsely accused of trafficking, the very thing that he's been rescuing kids out of, and you know we work with this ministry. And it's 3 years this March. And to hear her voice again, because we'd like to stay connected. Is it ready? Okay, just give me a big flag like this when it's ready. when we were in Brazil, her mother-in-law, Pastor Jacob's mom, died. She was the heart of the home. Jacob's been in prison. You know the story. And we're believing for his release. We're believing for true justice here on earth as it is in heaven, to be given so Pastor Jacob can finish his destiny, to be able to continue to rescue children and others from child soldiering, human trafficking at large, and different expressions of that. And you know the story, you know about the tortures and the persecution and things. So when I talked with Ina, my connection, I tried really hard in Brazil, just wouldn't go through. I couldn't reach her in India. And then when I talked with her when I got back, Pastor Jacob was in prison when he got the news that he'll never see his mom on this side. And he couldn't get out to come to the funeral. He's in jail. And it was unexpected. She was just feeling a little tired and going to get a checkup. So she was changing her clothes, and she looked at Ina and said, "God is with me." And she said, "Okay, Mama." And so she went to the hospital, and she had a heart attack and died. Boom. Everyone's world was changed instantly. In the midst of that, when Pastor Jacob got the news, he wasn't eating for several days, just spending time with the Lord, grieving, I'm sure. And then he had a connection with Ina, and he was telling her, read Ephesians 3:20. Somehow he had a connection. I'm not some jailer had a cell phone or something. And read Ephesians 3:20, and therein lies our hope in all things. And so let me just read this. Let's pull it up. Well, at least let's pull it in our Bibles here. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Is that powerful? Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, everyone, even you techies back here, okay? Forget that, we'll get there. Just close your eyes for 1 second and listen to these words again, coming from the Bible, from a man in prison for 3 years, falsely accused, having been tortured and just lost his mom. Now to him who, by inconsequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Oh, we can just go home after that. This is the nature of our God. This is the nature of our King. This is the nature of our Jesus. He is the one who is giving us the eyes to not see as we used to see. When Cynthia was preaching, and I didn't hear the worship prior to that, but at the end of the message, she asked Mike, I think Jamie was playing too, I think, but she asked Mike to sing out prophetically what he had been singing out. And if you remember, he was talking about how he wanted to have a different way of looking. Remember? Show me, God. Open my eyes that I would have a different expression or a different, what was the word, Mike? A new perspective. That's what Pastor Jacob was saying to his wife. A new perspective, sweetheart. It's okay to grieve for the moment because there's been loss, but a new perspective in your soul. I know your spirit is strong, but your mind, your will, your emotions need a new perspective now. What my perspective was, me, MP, I texted her and I said, she may have been the heart of the home. I said, but you have his heart in that home now. A new perspective for her. We are to encourage one another with the new perspective of how Jesus is looking at things. If we're having struggles in our marriage, struggles in our family, struggles in our finances, struggles, any kind of struggles, the Lord says, I want you to have my perspective. And I need to open your eyes so that you will see with my eyes. It was so powerful, so powerful. I just sat on my couch, I closed my eyes, and I said, oh Lord, open my eyes, new perspective. I think I have a perspective, but I need a new perspective, because that's what going from glory to glory is. I need your perspective on this. I need what you have to say about this. I need to be willing to change. I need to be willing to embrace what you're saying. I need to hear. And when I am encouraged, that I won't push the encouragement away, I will grab it, and it will be foundational from the Word of God. There will be nothing that we will be encouraged by that is not found in the Word of God, ultimately, because that's who He is. I need your perspective, God. And it's so easy to lose sight of that, as we heard from our different speakers, all of them. All. And I'm adding my voice to that, that's the tenor of 2016, new perspective. When we're on Facebook and we're commenting with, as people call them, pundits, when we're commenting with other people, okay, we need the perspective of Jesus, not our own opinion. If we give our own opinion, we can do damage to others, because it doesn't matter what we think and what we feel if it's not the perspective of the kingdom. So any of us who have given our perspective, I would go back and re-listen to Josh's definition of what religion is. Doesn't mean we don't think, but what we want is God's perspective, not man's. Not man's. That's just an example, you know, using the current tenor of the day here. What's going to happen? I was attending a human trafficking event a year ago with some of our team from Redemption for Life, and Governor Kasich was speaking, and I didn't, oh wow, that's a big yes. Let me finish this one sentence. And I didn't know, to be really honest, I really wasn't up on much of anything. I am now, but I wasn't then. And I listened to him. I had no idea that he was planning on running for president. None. Clueless. And I looked at him, and I listened to him, and here is what I said in my spirit: that man should be our president. And I thought, oh, happy thought. And then I went up and I met him and I talked with him and I looked in his eyes and I said to him this. I said, you have, let me say it the right way. You have been a good example for standing for Jesus in what you have said here today. And I appreciate that, because that's what matters to me. Ultimately. And I said, you've represented Jesus well. And he looked at me and our eyes locked and he goes, thank you. That means more to me than anything. Enough said on that. So we have people waving in the back, and this will tie in. That was not a political paid announcement. That was just a impression that I had, a spiritual impression. Okay. Oh my.
What is going on?
What is going on?
What? Oh,
the reason we're showing this is to celebrate, but also we love the shock factor, we love the awe, we love the surprise, and I believe that Ephesians 3:20 fits that beautifully. And we want to congratulate Michelle and Joe on their engagement. So that was Friday night, and most of you probably know that, and if you didn't, well, you do know. Officer Hay had this brilliant idea of engaging his beloved, using fellow officers and squad cars and such. I don't know the legality of that. I don't even want to know. I'm not going to say. But it was brilliant. And obviously, or seemingly, obviously to me anyway, caught Michelle off guard. And Andy and Nikki were accomplices, so I don't know if that implicates you somehow. But I remember them getting engaged up at our house on the second floor, Andy climbing up a window on a ladder, and Nikki being clueless, if you can imagine that. I mean, that's just a story that you'll have to hear someday. So there, this time it was kind of, okay, I'm gonna do this one. So it's a great, great turn of events that we have another upcoming marriage here. This is great. Carly and Jordan are getting married in June, and now you guys, it's so cool. And we're very, very happy for you. And it goes along with this message beautifully. Not because it just happens, you know, we have to show your video. We don't. But it really does go along with this because our God is so surprising. And when we stand for everything that we can believe that he could possibly do, it's still nothing. It's still nothing compared to what he's going to do. And I know some of us might be feeling some heartache for whatever reason going on in our world and life. Oh, why wasn't it me? Oh, gee, you know, things are happening in my life or whatever it could be, anything that could come. I'm feeling sick, or I have these problems, or whatever it would be. Anything at all is meant to rob us of joy to be able to celebrate with this couple. Okay? And the enemy's very, very good at doing that, right? It's very good. But it's also part of Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. And lead, show me any anxious or hurtful way in me, so that I may walk in the paths of everlasting. So we're very excited about that. And I know with Ephesians 3:20, I just want to read it again. I really do. I wasn't planning on this. It just popped out here. So let me read this. This is over all of us for whatever we're contending for. We're very happy for Joe and Michelle. And this is, Michelle and Joe, a verse for you for your engagement as well. Now, this is Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified. Now to him who, by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. And verse 21 to end that chapter reads, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. Amen. And so with that in mind, this is my encouragement to you. I'm going to read some more here, but I do have some encouragement right now. First, that we will make a decision today, as we have already decided, many of us, to surrender to the Lord as part of this purification or purifying of hearts. This is what Psalm 139 is about, 23 and 24, that we would say, Lord, try me. Try me, Lord. And so when our emotions rise, when our minds kick in to what we already think and believe, and when our wills are this way, that we will determine inside that we will go to the Word of God And we will get the answer from the Word of God. That's my first encouragement. That doesn't mean we're not worshipers. We're all worshipers. That doesn't mean we don't soak, as Josh put as well. Soak for 18 hours. That was good. But that we will go to the Word of God and that we will receive the Word of God in whatever form He comes, be it a dream, be it a vision, be it a counsel, be it the Word directly to us, okay, in any other fashion, a word, a prophetic word, whatever it would be, that we would determine, I will receive the Word of the Lord, and I will not disregard His way of getting it across to me. You know what that will do for us? I'm telling you, that will take us into a land of promise and a land of hope that we have not experienced. And when we are feeling that discouragement rising or those emotions rising, that we will go back and that we will surround ourselves, I believe this house is a company of people like that, that we will surround ourselves with people who will say it like it is and will speak the truth in love. But we will receive it because it will be based on the Word of God. Okay? We need to be speaking the Word of God to each other. We've been doing this since 1995. This is not a new message, but we're in a new season of great breakthrough, of great restoration. Okay? In the Jewish calendar, this is the Jubilee year. And the Lord is saying, I want to perform my word, but I'm looking for those who have a Caleb spirit, as we heard from Cynthia. I'm looking for those with a different spirit who will love me wholeheartedly and be willing to hear what I have to say, and I will become their anchor so that it will not be just only emotional responses to our King. And when we love somebody, there is surely emotion, but there are times when our emotions will lead us rather than the spirit behind our emotions. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing, because that's where the only way the enemy can really stop world changers. Pastor Jacob's a world changer in prison, leading people to Christ, suffering for his faith, for the gospel. It's amazing when I watch this life and I think, God, he's a spiritual son. What do I know? I want to be like him. I'm not saying send me to prison. I'm just saying, wow. Was that his choice? No. But I'm sure when he comes here, when you meet him and Ina and Basha, you will be ready to embrace the fullness of the message that he will have learned, he will have received. It's amazing. God wants us to become fearless, where anything that comes towards us to rob us of our stability, our trust, and our ability to respond against fear, he wants us to be able to say, not on my watch. We can't without taking these things so seriously for ourselves. More and more and more and more. We should be the most joyful people on the face of the planet, shouldn't we? Because we have an amazing God. Another thing that happened this week, and I cut it out, it was earlier this week, and I thought, God, why is this in here now? I didn't know what I was going to be preaching. I didn't even know if I was going to be able to preach physically today. But this is what was in the paper, and I cut it out. Let me show it to you. Yeah. Thanks, Chris. That's the top. That's the bottom. Whoop. And it says, maybe you saw this. This was not obituary, yeah. <It's good. laughs> settlement reached in 2008 deaths. You can walk and people can see the accident. I want you to see a little bit of reality here. Okay? You can walk if you would show them the picture. That's okay. And show them the picture. This is the crash. Do you know This crash happened in 2008. And as soon as I saw this, I wanted to know every detail. You can walk down there too, son, if you would. Thank you. Because this man has been in our church. This is Ronnie. This was Ronnie Anderson, age 72. Oh, yeah. 2008. You know where we met him? In Walmart. We went out to just go to the streets, like we typically do. Went into Walmart. And the Lord had already given prophetic words before we got there. Of, I don't remember all the exact ones, some of you might, but a man in a blue jacket with a red, what is it? Blue coat with a limp and a red hat. There were four or five things about him. And God did crazy stuff in 2008. I mean, I was on the microphone calling people, talking to them in Walmart. That's weird. Some of you guys were there. But even more than that, do you know what he did? The Lord even had us move from one side of Walmart to the other to apprehend this man. I was thinking back to 2008. And what did we think? We're going out in a prophetic little deal and, you know, God, save people, rescue people. This man was killed by a rescue truck. But he was rescued before that. And so I remember seeing him walk down the aisle, and when he came up, I can still see him. And as we were giving him the gospel, I remember looking in his eyes, and he said, I've always wanted this. I've never known what to do. How many of you were with me that night? Oh, a good amount. Did that change your life? Was that just rocking? It was for me. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, it's not a big crusade stage in Ghana or Brazil or wherever else, you know. This was Ronnie's life. God loved him so much. Ephesians 3:20 was for him. And his four-year-old grandson was killed with him. Do I get that? No. So when we led him to Christ and we told him, you know, about Frontline afterwards, he came from the other side of the tracks in Maslin, literally the tracks. I don't mean that negatively, just on the other side of the tracks. He was sitting right where Angie's sitting. And I remember his face sitting right there. I thought, look at that, God. You saved this guy. And within, I don't remember, was it a week or two, Andy? Week or two or something, he's dead. It's like, holy moly. So I'm reading this article, and I, listen to a couple of things, because Ronnie is in heaven with Jesus. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. He listened to the message, and he received the message. When we have a message that's encouraging us to go deeper, farther, faster, we need to listen to the message and respond to the message that God gives us, because he wants us to go to the Ronnies, okay? He wants us to get past the things that are troubling us in our hearts and our marriages and families and jobs and things like that. He wants us to look beyond those things so that we can serve somebody else, which we heard in the messages this last week. But this is from the attorney for the Anderson family. Our clients are very pleased with the result that our law firm obtained on their behalf, Max said. This has been a groundbreaking case. It's been through Supreme Court twice, and it has redefined, excuse me one second, guys, I'm going to take a drink. And it has been redefined in standards that apply to emergency vehicle. I'm sorry, I read it wrong. It's been through Supreme Court twice, and it has redefined the standards that apply to emergency vehicle operators. No amount of money will ever bring back Ronnie and Javar, but we are secured, but we secured justice on behalf of the Anderson family. The event was called tragic from both sides. It's a terrible thing that happened, he said. I think it's good for it to be resolved without a trial from everybody's side. It needed to be put to rest from all sides. Mac explained that the suit is legally significant because it has been cited in more than 100 legal decisions. Prior to this case, the standards that would be used to judge an emergency vehicle operator's conduct were blurred, Max said. As a result of this case, those standards are now clear. Those standards clearly show what needs to be proven in order to hold an emergency operator vehicle responsible. The case, Anderson versus Maslin, bounced from Common Pleas Court to both the 5th District and Ohio Supreme Court twice, and then back to Common Pleas Court after a Stark County judge first ruled that the city and its firefighters were immune to prosecution. The wrongful death lawsuit was initiated September 22, 2009. The following year, the Stark County Common Pleas Court granted the city immunity in the case. But in March 2011, the 5th District Court of Appeals reversed the decision. In December 2012, the Supreme Court ruled that a trial court should reconsider whether the city was liable in the crash. City attorneys sought clarification of the remedies provided by the Supreme Court. In January 2013, the Supreme Court rejected a request from the city to clarify its decision. The Supreme Court upheld a portion of the appellate court decision and clarified legal definitions of willful, wanton, and reckless. Attorneys for Ronnie had argued that the fire truck driver was traveling at excessive and unsafe speeds given the neighborhood and type of emergency to which he was responding, a report of a vehicle fire. Wow. The city had argued initially that the accident was unavoidable because Anderson failed to yield to the oncoming fire truck at the intersection, which has a three-way stop and flashing light, according to court papers. Why did I read all that? Because I think it's worth reading, and I believe it's timely, and I believe the Lord wants to unlock for us more of what he wants us to see in this season beyond our own family finance little life that's very important to Jesus. But he wants us to see beyond that, because without his eyes to see the things that are coming, we will not have the responses that we could have in the spirit. We're supernatural beings. And Ronnie responded. And I'm going to leave some of this to you. I am not going to say much more about this. I praise God he's in heaven with Jesus. But I'm asking you to think about this. When you leave here, when you go to lunch or whatever, when you're planning for your wedding or whatever it is that you think, why is this being settled right now, settled in quotes, and what is the adjudication that's going on for this situation in heaven? What does Jesus have to say about this? Okay? What does he think? What does he think? And what does he want us to do? And what does he want our response to be? And I'm sure Mandy, who just finished the bar exam, praise the Lord. I'm so proud of you, sweetie. I'm sure did a great job. We're believing for that. and put your heart and soul into that in prayer and trusted Jesus. So there's no greater place to be. And with a wonderful husband who backs you as well. Really. And you're listening, I'm sure, with keen ears. But it's not just for Mandy. It's for us today. Now, there's a couple more verses I want to read that the Lord highlighted to me. Think about these verses in light of this, in light of what I have said about the other messages that have been given. I'm not going to go re-give the messages. Encourage you to listen to them. And also, that you would think about Jacob in prison. And before I read the final verses, let me add one more point about that. I didn't say. There was some restoration in the John family that took place supernaturally. I won't go into the details of that now. But also, when I spoke with Ina this week, when I was able to speak more clearly, she said, I'm waiting for a call to see if Jacob's case will be heard by the Supreme Court. Can you believe it? In my gut, inside, I thought she's not going to get a yes, and it's tomorrow morning. I didn't say that to her. So I said, well, let me pray. I didn't believe it was God's time. It'll be 3 years almost to the day that Jacob was falsely apprehended and incarcerated in March. So I get a text the next day. It didn't go through. But they're saying to me that March 8th, they're going to look at this again. Oh, and the reason that it didn't go through is because the case wasn't important enough. Okay? Now you think about that with this in mind. So March 8th is the day now that she is contending for and waiting for, and we can pray in that a new judge that has been appointed, by the way, and new attorney will be the ones who the Lord will be able to work through. Not as though the Lord's hands are tied. I don't mean it that way. That the Lord will work through on March 8th. Because the evidence is already there in heaven, but even in the natural, to free him completely. But no one has been able to get that into the Supreme Court. Amazing. Video testimonies from all the children of his innocence. So we're getting ready for a big explosion, and we're going to believe for March 8th. But let me give you a couple verses and to think about before we close here. I was highly encouraged when Josh read from Romans 8 and spoke a lot about Romans 8. It's one of my favorite passages. When I was a new believer and I started teaching the word very, very early as a young believer, one of the first books that I taught for a very long time was Romans. It's one of my favorite, and I love to see that dissected well. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3, and then we'll close here. We all know John 3:16. Okay, but I'm going to read John 3:16 and a few others after that in the Amplified. And I want you to, in light of what has been spoken, consider these things and in light of your own life. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten, unique Son, that whoever believes in, okay, trusts, clings to, relies on him, shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge. Okay, let me read that again. For God did not send his Son into the world in order to judge, / to reject to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Huh. Our marching orders for this election, perhaps, huh? Verse 18, he who believes on him, who clings to, trusts in, relies on him, is not judged. He who trusts in him never comes up for judgment. For him, there is no rejection, no condemnation. He incurs no damnation. We're in verse 18. But he who does not believe, not cleave to, rely on, trust in him, is judged already. He has already been convicted, has already received his sentence, because he has not believed on and trusted in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He is condemned for refusing to let his trust rest in Christ's name. But he who, this is verse 21, but he who practices truth, who does what is right, comes out into the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, wrought with God, divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. We all know that Cameron is out west in Arizona and left yesterday, and Pastor Bill and I texted him last night, and there are 2 hours difference, and as Cam was reading the text, he said, I just wanted to call you. So he called, and we had a really good, long, good conversation and prayer time. Both Pastor Bill and I were able to pray over him and spoke some things into his life for you also, Beth, in this time. It's not an easy time. That the Lord is there for each one of us. He is there in the deepest places, no matter how difficult we think it is going to be or it currently is. And that as we remember that we can do nothing good without him, nothing, nothing, nothing. And we remember the one that we cling to, trust in, and rely on, that we'll be okay. More than okay, we'll be able to rise up and recognize that person in the workplace whose wife might be dying of cancer and impart to that person and maybe even see a result. And I know that person quite well, and I brought that up to Cam. Cam and Beth didn't speak his name, but I know the situation. So I brought that up yesterday. And I said, that's who you are. It's not how fast you swing. It's not how great a score your team would have. It's nice, but it's about who you are, deep in the core of who you are. Your dependence on the Spirit of God in all things, to be able to hear him and be willing to change anything for him. Isn't that what God calls from each one of us? I want to hear you. I want your perspective on all things. Thank you, Lord. I had checked so many things to highlight and to go over today in case the Lord wanted to do that, and that really hasn't happened. So he had a different way to go, which I'm always wanting to be open to. But I'm going to close the way Cynthia closed, not because Cynthia did it, but because I heard the same thing just now. I'm going to ask you, Mike, to come up and sing what was in your heart and whatever else the Lord adds. And Jamie, you can play the keys or something. I think you were up before. Because that when he sang out about, Lord, open my eyes, I believe this. And Lord, I want your perspective. I believe that with today's message, there's going to be another opening, if you will, of eyes. And I believe also that it would behoove you to go back and listen to the basics again. And that's not a negative. Basics transcended into those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit. I thought I was going to be preaching on that today, because I had been hearing that from the Lord, what Josh was talking about, for weeks. And Josh had said, those who are the true sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit. But as I was researching that also myself, you didn't know I was doing this a couple weeks ago, just in my own quiet time for fun, the Lord was showing me that the words, excuse me for this, are dealing with maturity. And that the Lord is saying that he wants us to mature, that as we are the true sons and daughters of God, this is not just in position, but this is in the reality of being, of not only knowing that we're engrafted in as his adopted children, okay, and joint heirs with Christ, but it's then embracing the full counsel of God's word. Please hear that. So that we mature. Josh gave a list of 8 or 9 things, and I jotted them down on different ways to determine, different aspects to determine whether we are led by the Spirit. And you can kind of go off and check them. Oh, I was converted. Oh, I was baptized in the Spirit. Oh. It's not a litmus test, but yet it is a progression for maturity. And this is what I believe God's calling us to mature, really mature, where we cry out to the Lord, search me, O God. This is not just get rid of the junk so that I can hear you more clearly, Holy Spirit. That's part of it. But it's, Jesus, I need that great exchange from heaven to continue to mature me, so that I see with your eyes, and then I will see the nations, and I will see the Ronnies. I will understand what's going on from a global perspective, a political perspective. I will care what you say, God, in all things, on all levels, on all fronts, in my family, with my children or grandchildren, with the desires of my heart for marriage or engagement or whatever it would be, whatever it would be, okay? If our identity is found in our job, we say we just want to give God glory. We need to go back and listen to the basics, because something needs to change so that we can mature, even if we've walked with the Lord for a very long time. So let's just relish this moment. I don't know what he's going to sing exactly, but I believe this is how God wants to end. Let's just listen and receive. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I don't want to gonna see things my way, but I wanna see things from your perspective. Give me fresh eyes, give me fresh ears, give me a fresh perspective, Lord. Oh, give me a new wineskin, give me your eyes for what's going on. Go from a past experience. Ooh. 'Cause I don't want to see things my way. I don't want to see the way I used to see. I don't want to see.
Of our heart, along with we're in love with you, Jesus. Thank you for giving that song to Mike and Jamie. Thank you, Lord. It's the song of the Lord for us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be encouraged, be strengthened. I encourage you to get in the Word, and I just for time's sake, I didn't get back into Romans 8, the first 17 verses in the Amplified. Josh read them in the King James or New King James, which was really great. I really think it would also behoove us to read them again and read them in the Amplified also, okay? Just to give a little bit more perspective, I think. So, God bless you all. Be encouraged. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're free. Amen. God bless you. Is Josh here? Okay, Chris has.
There's a meeting.